Mr. Chan Ching Yen Ryu to. Mr. Chan, how did the students in the school mix with one another? Since they were of different nationalities.
I can't remember much about that. It's just mix up like that. We go to class and then sometimes recess, you play together. Like that only. And occasionally they fight lah. Something wrong, they fight lah. Like that only lah.
Who were the teachers in the school?
Oh, they were all the main teachers there. All main teachers. I think mostly all died already. As far as I know now, all my teachers mostly all died already. Finished already.
What were their nationality?
They are also the local people.
Mainly?
Sisbon also, local people. Mm. One or two Eurasians like that. Eurasian teachers.
Were they mostly Chinese or from the other groups as well?
Chinese. Mostly Chinese, Malay. Not much Malay. Eurasian and Indian teachers also got. Like that. They're quite old. They are already all experienced teachers.
When you were in high school, what was the name of that high school?
Melaka Government High School. They call it Melaka High School, Government. It belongs to the government also. Melaka Government High School, they call it like that.
What kind of subjects were you all taught there?
There, we learned quite a lot, but I was not keen in studying, so I don't think much interest in learning. They got history, they got science lab, all they got, and then can't remember. I don't know much about the schooling time, you see, because just a few years only I bought out, you see. I just don't want to go to school anymore.
Can you remember which year you graduated from high school?
My last, it's around 35, my last day of schooling. 34 maybe, last 34 only, like that. And then after that I stay at home until 1936, I go to work.
Do you remember what were your parents' expectations towards your education at that time?
Yeah, every day I got schooling. Yeah. The most naughtiest son that I always like to play, but I never care about the study. You see. That was why, and when now I begin to regret, realize without my education, I stand nowhere. See. That's why I cannot rise up. I have no education. But I can do a lot of manual work. I got a lot of way of thinking how to make money and all. But it's come to the problem of this education. I'm already out. Find difficulty in writing letters and all.
But what did they hope that you would become after receiving your education?
Hope.
What were your parents' expectations then?
Oh, they don't have. Because they are not also education. They are not also educated. It's up to us lah. The only thing is to school us every day. You don't want to go to school, then you have to go out and work. And go out and work also, we can't even find work. Very difficult to find work without the proper education. So we have to do some manual work and see, like collector, like bus inspector. Those are not good jobs, you see. At that time, people consider you very low, you see, if you work on that kind of work. only at that time, people who works in the office, oh, they respect, oh, this is a very good boy, you can work in an office. Like we work this kind of work, they don't respect us. They don't consider you highly educated, is it? I always get scolding on that. I just can't be bothered about it. As long I can earn my living, that's all.
Between 1934 and 1936, what were you doing if you're not working yet?
Yeah, nothing to do, just stay at home, help my mother, help my mother to go to market, this and that, lah. That's all. Lah. And sometimes stay at home, sleep, like that.
In 1936, you went to your uncle's place as a trainee clerk.
Yeah.
What was his firm called?
No, he's also not a very big firm. He is an agent of the insurances. They call it the China Underwriters Insurance. And on the top of that, my uncle is the secretary and treasurer of this benevolent society, you see, where, you know, when people die, you get your money, you see. You join that kind of a society. That was one they call it, the Malacca Chinese Benevolent Society, you see. So my uncle is a treasurer, secretary and treasurer, and also doing some estate agent work, you see. All those estates got some work. He's looking after the estate's account and all. Not much work, lah. And they don't employ people. My uncle work by himself. And then we help him to do some, doing some typing work and some photocopying machine. You know, at that time, the photocopy is not like the present one. Have you ever seen it or not? It's a kind of a steel, isn't it? You wet the thing, you know. You got to put water. You put it there. You put one paper and then that thing, you got to wet it. And then you press it. Then that letter will go in. That is the type of copying machine, you know. I don't think you ever see that. Right? No, copying machine, just put in the thing, can come out by thousands. This is an old type, very difficult to do it. And then do some typing work. And then sometimes my uncle asked me, like pews, you have to do the pew work also. Send letter here, send letter there, like that. That's all. In one day, I don't think I work more than 2 hours. The rest, sit down only. People come and pay money, we just make a receipt, like that only.
What was the name of the company?
His own name. His own company, his own name. Actually, there's no signboard, nothing. People know him then.
And where was his office?
He said his house, his own house, is his office, you see.
Why did you decide to work at your uncle's place?
Because my mother, I say, pressed me to work. You know nothing, you don't know anything, how can you go and work? So, talk to my uncle, and then my uncle called me, then I have to work. And I worked for 2.5 years without a salary, you know. No salary. Just go there and work. And sometimes if I'm busy, I don't go, like that. That's the way you train people, eh?
Did you receive any allowance?
Sometimes, when my uncle like, just give me 10 cents, 5 cents, something. But towards the end of the year, he will make my, for the Chinese New Year or something like, he'll make me a full coat, see, trousers, coat and shirts and all, buy some shoes for me, like that only. That's all. You know, my mother is poor, and my uncle is also not rich. That is the only thing he can afford to give us. But he trained us how to be a clerk from there. And then slowly I become a clerk, you see. As time goes on. But when I come to Singapore, I become a clerk. No, after the liberation, I become a clerk.
Did he provide meals for you?
Yeah, males just go behind and eat.
Besides you, were there any other people who were under training?
No,
then?
No.
So only you and your uncle.
He has one clerk of himself, which is an old middle-aged man. Because that's the one who can do all the accounts. My uncle just checked only. He's quite an old man also, retired people.
So how did your uncle train you up?
You know, he just gave me something like this letter. He dropped the letter, you type just like that only. Don't talk much with my uncle also, you see. And he's a busy man, he doesn't always stay in the office. He has to go out. He has a lot of things to do. And also, he has to go for meetings, all sorts of things. He's also a legislative counselor, is he? In the municipality at that time, they got a legislative counselor. That means representing the people, see? So he has a big rank. In the military, he was a volunteer, so he has a title of a captain. Also, he has, from the government, he was appointed as a JP, Justice of Peace. So a lot of people come and see him. And on the top of that, he was given by the Queen, at that time I think was given by the King, the title of the MBE. MBE is called the Member of the British Empire. I think he must have done a lot of work, and he was rewarded that. He's quite an influential man, isn't he?
What was his name?
Captain Koh Keng Bok. But unlucky, when he died during the Japanese time. So he's a pauper when he died. During the war, occupation of the Japanese, he died. It's nowhere, nobody knows about it. Everybody was so scared at that time during the Japanese occupation. So he just died like that. If he would have died during the British time, it would be a grand funeral. But he holds a big title, everybody knows him very well. Actually, in the state of that Malacca state, people all know him. Because he's a JP and he's a legislative councillor. A lot of things he's doing with the government. Business people must have approached him for something. You know, business people, they are always like that. They want your favor, this and that. They know what to do, business people.
Do you know what kind of work he did as a legislative councillor?
That I don't know. I was so young that time, I don't know what is legislative councillor.
After, you mentioned that you worked for your uncle for 2.5 years. After that, where did you go?
That's what I told you, I go out and find work. So we are repeating the same question.
No, I mean, which company did you go to?
No, first I worked with the bus company. Then after that, I worked with the recreation club. And I worked till the war was declared. And because you don't want this to mix up with the war, eh? So I'm not...
Where was the Malacca Chinese Recreation Club at this time?
Yeah, it's still there.
Where was it? Where's the place?
It's also in the same town, center of the town. But now I don't think they have. Nowadays, I don't know whether they still got that recreation club. I didn't go and find out. It's not much there.
What were your duties as a building?
Yeah, that one, you see, my duty is to look after the club, see that the keeper does his work, Then on the top of that, I have to go and collect the subscription. Without this, the club cannot go on, you see. Then I have to serve the secretaries, the treasurers, and when type the minutes of the meeting and all, they want to call a meeting, I have to go around and send those letters to them. They don't send by post, I have to send to their office where they work. So keep a record of all the membership, I know that. And when they call a meeting, I just pass it to them. And sometimes when then I have to serve the sports secretary also. They got the soccer, they got the tennis and all sorts of games and all to serve them. Sometimes they go out, they come to Singapore and between friendly game like Singapore versus Malacca, between the relegation clubs and this, and I will follow them to Singapore also.
What kind of people join as members of this club?
Those are all the working class people. Like those people, those are sportsmen. Some works in the bank, some work in the government, some work like their own business or something. A lot of people join that club, you see. And those people that are who are more interested in soccer, they all form a team and then they always got a feel, they can always practice like that. Mostly, I think 80% are people from the government.
Were they all straight-born Chinese or were there China-born Chinese in the club also?
No, they were all straight-born Chinese. And few... Because this is... these are all Chinese. Lah. This club is a Chinese. They call it like a Chinese recreation club, you see. So they don't have other races.
You also mentioned that you joined the volunteer course in 1936 or so.
Yeah.
How did you join?
No, it's very simple at that time. If you want to become a volunteer, you just go down to the headquarters there, get a form, and then you just sign. Then the appointment will be made with the commanding officer. Then they have to put an oath that you will serve loyally, and you must give your efforts, loyalty, everything to the government. That's how you become a member. And they have two or three times practice. You have to attend to the headquarters. So you just go there and they pay you a little bit of allowance on your transport. That's all, no pay. And I've served almost 10 years, more than 10 years in this volunteer corps. That's why I got my long service medal.
From 1936?
Quite long. I don't know how they count it. Until the war ended, it's still under service. Even during the Japanese occupation, it's counted that you are still in the volunteer corps.
Where was the headquarters?
It's near the government building there. It's around the, by the close of the Malacca River. It's the headquarters there.
Before joining as a member, how much did you know about the Malacca volunteer course?
Actually, I do not know much. So, the interest that gave me why I joined the volunteer is because once a year during the king's birthday, they got a parade in the field at the ground there, and then all kinds of things are there. The police, the scouts, the volunteers, they don't have the army, and then the school children like that lah. So that give me an interest to join this. When I see those volunteers passing at the field there, so one day I go and find out whether I can join them. So there's a limit of age limit. So when I come to up the age of 18, I apply and I got it. So I just join in. Because my brother is also in the volunteer, and my uncle is also the captain. He's the pioneer of the Malacca volunteer. He was the one who formed the Malacca volunteer. And then I got another uncle also, who is also a captain. And now he lately, before the war, he was promoted to become a major. So he's called Major Tan. He also just recently died 2 years ago.
The uncle that formed this volunteer
corps. He's the pioneer of the MBC.
Was he that the one Captain that you worked
for? Captain Koh, and my wife's uncle, Captain Tan Soo Hock. These two are the pioneers of the volunteer. My wife's uncle is also a captain.
Do you know how it was formed?
That I don't know. During the British time, I don't know how they formed it.
Or do you know why was it formed? I mean, for what purpose was it formed?
Yeah, it's something like the defense, lah. When should there be any trouble, there should be people to defend. Like Malacca is a small state, so I think it already originated in Singapore, these volunteers, because Singapore has the 1st and the 2nd battalion. Then comes the Penang. Penang is the 3rd battalion. So Malacca is the 4th battalion. There are three state settlement states, Singapore, Malacca and Penang. These are the three state settlements. And now no more. Now Penang and Malacca have been taken over to join the Malaysian Union, you see. So they are into the Malaysian Federation. So Singapore was separately out. That is why people still don't understand. Singapore should have been with the Malaysian Federation. But they try to merge, and then they cannot agree, and they break off again. Right?
Do you remember when was this Malacca Volunteer Corps formed?
Well, long ago, quite long. The time when I joined is already 20, 30 years already. Very far ahead of me.
Besides being interested in the parades, were there any other reason why you joined the MBC?
See, you can learn how to fire arms, you can do some exercise work, and once a year they have an in-camp training. That's where you feel very happy, is it? Kiddy, there's nothing in my younger days, there's nothing for me to do. I don't know much about life. So by joining this, we get more fun in our daily life. See, as time goes on, it becomes more days in training. From 2, they go increase to 4. And in-camp training, the whole week you are there, or 10 days, just go there. They give you everything they give you. And there's a swimming pool, everything. You just learn about how to be an army. Those times we are not allowed to join the army. British government will never take Chinese to be in the army. They only take the Malays. That's why they call it, they have the Malay regiment. But in Singapore, they have the British army to look after. So that's why they got volunteers.
Were there any consideration of out of loyalty for the British government that you joined the volunteer corps?
No. This, I have no idea how they do it. I think they must have... See, like those British people, they are here, they got also nothing to do. That's why they formed this. something like a club, I think, is it? Between the British themselves. And they are, I have a feeling that these are all the work of the British expatriate or something like that. They among themselves got nothing to do, so they join up and they are loyal to the British government. They form into an army, and from there they stretch out to the local people. That's how we all come in.
Did anybody influence you, you know, to join the MVC?
No. It's my own way.
You mentioned that your uncles were the pioneers. Who were there? Anybody else that helped to form this MVC also?
Yeah, so absolutely. There's another one. My uncle, my wife's uncle, is also the pioneer. They both together form up this, and they recruit people to join in. And slowly they form it into a bigger group.
So what was the structure of the MVC like? How many, were there many units?
Yes. You see, according to that, I think they call it the battalion. So Melaka is the 4th battalion of the SSPF. In one battalion there are about 1,000 over people. Then there are so many races, as they call it, a multiracial country. So they have the A company, which is the European. Then they have the B company, that is Chinese. Then they have the C company, which is the Malay. Then they have the D company, which is the Eurasian. No, Melaka has got a lot of Eurasian. So they have a A, B, C, D. And on the top of that, they have the headquarters wing. Headquarters wings consist of those ambulance and the technical, all sorts of, they combine into one and call it the headquarters wing. So that total up becomes 1,000 over people. And that is where they call it one battalion.
So the
the head of that is a European. They call it CO, commanding officer, who is the head of the whole battalion.
So the MVC is part of the 4th battalion.